Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, August 30th, 2020. Section A. Victims to be memorialized amidst pandemic. By J.C. Lewis, jacy.lewis@hurstmp.com. Odessans have had to figure out how to memorialize the first anniversary of the mass shooting amidst a pandemic with social distancing guidelines in place. Organizers of memorial events said it has been difficult to figure out how to mark the anniversary when gathering in person isn't deemed safe. Odessa Arts Director Randy Hamm became part of the planning process for this August 31st memorial. What can we do when we can't pack a stadium or go out to the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center? Unfortunately, our friends to the west in El Paso had the anniversary on the shooting of August 3rd. We all reached out to our prospective colleagues in El Paso to ask what they did. Hamm said that community organizers picked parts of El Paso's memorial that they thought would resonate with the community and repurposed those parts. It was incredibly helpful to be able to say that the remembrance can be done and it can be meaningful. It is just going to look different. Yellow flags are available at the Chamber of Commerce, El Noel Art Museum, Family Resiliency Center, and Odessa Arts, along with other businesses and nonprofits, for people to place at Memorial Gardens Park. The city is hanging 32 big flags to represent the victims. The planning committee will also encourage residents and businesses to hang yellow ribbons on their doors. The goal is to flood the city with bright yellow, he said, which to me is wonderful because yellow is such a color of hope and brings happiness. We need to never forget what happened, but we need to find the joy and ways to move on and remember the victims. Not so much how they died, but how they lived. Christian Connection Church of Odessa will be holding a drive-in service at 8 p.m. Monday in the parking lot behind the church. Co-pastor Don Weeks said the church has continued to hold the services drive-in style since the pandemic began. Attendees can tune in their radios to hear the service that will feature seven ministers from different transitions who will read scriptures and pray. When we saw that most of the things that were happening were virtual, we knew that doesn't reach everyone, she said. Weeks said a drive-in service isn't the same as an in-person service, but she thought it was a better option. She said drive-in services have become second nature to the church, and they have all the logistical parts needed. The service will have something special for the victims. We're going to ring bells for those injured and those killed in their memory and honor. Also, some pre-recorded music by the Cassette String Quartet, which is a New York City quartet that one of the members grew up here in Odessa, and so they recorded a special version of Amazing Grace for the service. We will hand out yellow roses to those who have been directly affected or who lost a family member. Weeks approached Greg Morris, the president of the Odessa Ministerial Alliance, about whether the group was doing anything in remembrance. This led to the creation of the drive-in service. Morris, pastor of Bethany Christian Church, said the alliance has become a visible presence of the church to the community. Everything that has happened in the last year, we have evolved into trying to get churches to work together for the spiritual needs of the community. We were involved in the prayer vigil shortly after August 31st. The Ministerial Alliance also worked with chaplains at both hospitals to help those who had been hurt. Morris was also involved with the establishment of the Family Resiliency Center, which is led by coordinator Chandra Quimtanar. The center reopened June 1st to provide in-person services. The center has peer support groups, critical incident stress management services, training workshops for mental health. The center has also started offering alternative therapies, including trauma-informed yoga and creative expression experience in the form of art workshops. Quintanar said that before the pandemic hit, the center was planning to host a big memorial of remembrance. We will do a virtual event where people will observe 32 seconds of silence for the total number of victims that day. One of the big things we are doing is that as there are 1,000 flags, citizens can place at Memorial Park Gardens. She said organizers are trying to make sure there is something for everybody and let people participate while also encouraging social distancing. It changes the way people remember, she said. It changes the way we honor people's memories. We want to honor the memory of the people whose lives were lost, but also those who survived their injuries because they were going to relive this in a very different way for the rest of their lives. It is important for Midland and Odessa communities to come together during this difficult time, even if Odessa, as the community, is affected more. Midland and Odessa, for everybody else in the world, were one community. If Midland is hurting when Odessa is going, then Odessa is going to want to help. We are the West Texans, and we are always there for each other. This did happen in Odessa, but if you're in Midland, put a ribbon on your door or check on people you know in Odessa. Sister of Victim Continues Fight for Gun Reform by Caitlin Randall. C-R-A-N-D-L-E at MRT.com. Carla Byme never liked public speaking. And as an avid supporter of the Second Amendment, universal background checks and red flag laws weren't something she thought about until her younger brother Joe was killed along with six others by a gunman in Odessa last year. Now she's testified at several Texas House and Senate hearings asking legislators to enact common sense gun laws and has become one of the leaders of Moms Demand Action's Permian Basin chapter. Fighting for gun reform has become her life, she said in an interview with the Reporter Telegram. It's so tempting sometimes to just say, wouldn't it be nice to be done with this? Wouldn't it be nice to just have some peace, sit out on the back patio, watch the dogs run around, read my Kindle, have a glass of wine, and just let it go? And I'm tempted sometimes because it's such a heavy burden, and it would just be so much easier. But I can't. I can't because I look at my brother and I look at how his life was just ripped from him. He had a life and he was such a good, good man. And someone just took his life with zero care in the world. And Marcus Brazil gave him the gun to do that. And I can't stop. I won't stop. Brazil allegedly manufactured and sold the AR-style rifle used by Seth Ator to kill 7 and injure 25 on August 31, 2019, according to a lawsuit filed Friday by Griffith's family and the family of 15-year-old Lila Hernandez, who was also killed in the shooting. Kentucky-based Anderson Manufacturing is also named as a defendant in the suit, which alleges the company was negligent in selling multiple firearms and gun parts to Brazil, who did not have a federal firearms license. The FBI and U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives raided Brazil's Lubbock home in September 2019, seizing 29 guns, according to media reports. Nearly a year later, no arrests have been made, and the investigation is ongoing. The state of Texas allows private gun sales by unlicensed sellers if firearms aren't being repeatedly bought and sold with the motive for turning a profit. As far as when selling guns crosses the line from a hobby to a business, ATF's guidelines are vague, making cases like Brazil's difficult to prosecute. We're highly concerned that the federal investigation will come to a standstill, or that they will drop it. That's why Byme and her family are hoping to hold Brazil and Anderson Manufacturing accountable in civil court. More than receiving monetary relief, they want the lawsuit to put pressure on the Texas legislature. It's a long shot, but I am the kind of person that just because something is a long shot doesn't mean I'm going to just throw my hands up and not pursue it. Byrne, her sister, and parents have advocated for universal background checks. Ator is believed to have purchased a rifle from Brazil after failing a commercial background check because he had been committed to a mental health facility. Multiple polls have found that about 90% of Americans support universal background checks, including about 70% of National Rifle Association members. Biden said those who don't will likely remain unmoved until they're personally touched by a mass shooting. As a school administrator, she said she would often get upset watching coverage of school shootings on the news, but didn't think she'd ever be affected by one. "We all walk around thinking that we're immune," Byrne said. "It's so arrogant, and I never knew how arrogant it was. We see tragedies all the time, and we think, that won't happen to me. We were just a regular family going to work every day, contributing to society, trying to do a good job to help people, and it happened to us. None of us is immune." She said it's been a horrific year without her brother, who was ridiculously hilarious. "So funny, our faces would hurt from laughing, and he would give you the shirt off his back." When she was 24 years old, Byam said she moved to Los Angeles and was working at a mall while she wanted to start a teaching job. After realizing she couldn't pay her rent, she called Griffith, who mailed her a check without hesitation, despite being only 19 at the time. Griffith's family will spend money the 1 year mark of the shooting playing golf, which he loved, Byam said. He also loved Metallica and the Beatles and was a former 7th grade math teacher with his wife and 2 children, who were in the car when he was killed at a traffic light. Byrne said buying stocks at a Target in Dallas when she received the call from her sister that Griffith had been shot. Less than 2 hours later, she was waiting for her flight home when her sister called again to tell her brother had died. Byrne said she'll keep fighting for gun reform until those calls stop happening. "I'm one girl in town who's hardly anybody knows exists, but I'm not just going to go home, turn on the TV, put up my feet, and pretend like this isn't happening every day, because I just can't have another person get the call that I got. If even one less person gets the call that their loved one's life has been stolen from them, if even one less person feels that, I have done what God has asked me to do." Activists have lost hope that the House will take action on gun laws. By Caitlin Randall. CRANDLE at MRT.com. Molly Bercy felt a glimmer of hope when the Texas House of Representatives formed a select committee on mass violence prevention and community safety in September 2019, a few days after a gunman killed 7 people and wounded 25 in Odessa. "I'm always hopeful that a mass shooting will prick the hearts of lawmakers who have up until that point ignored the calls and cries of survivors of gun violence," said Bercy, the volunteer state legislative lead of Texas Moms Demand Action. "I'm always hopeful." But almost a year later, with no emergency legislative session called by Governor Greg Abbott to address gun violence and no additional committee meetings scheduled for the remainder of the year, she said she's lost hope that the House will take any action related to gun laws. Bercy, like others advocating for common sense gun laws, testified at earlier hearings about universal background checks, red flag laws, and banning open carry of rifles. The New Braunfels resident said the shooting that hit closest to home for her was in Sutherland Springs, where a gunman shot and killed 26 people at First Baptist Church. Gil Switzer, executive director of Texas Gun Sense, also testified at the 3 hearings the committee held in Farmers Branch, Odessa, and El Paso. A meeting scheduled in Houston for March was canceled because of the coronavirus. The committee invited committee commenters to submit written testimony, which Switzer and Bercy have done. Switzer said she saw light bulbs go off at some point during the hearings, such as when committee members were told that while those convicted of domestic abuse are sometimes prohibited from possessing firearms, there are no laws requiring domestic abusers to relinquish their guns. A bill requiring those who are arrested or charged with family violence or are the subject of a protective order to surrender their firearms was introduced by Representative Joe Moody in 2019, but it was not discussed by the legislature. Besides background checks on private sales, red flag laws, and tougher laws for those charged with domestic violence, Switzer said she'd also like to see the reintroduction of a lie and try bill that was left pending in committee in 2019. That bill would crack down on people who lie on federal background checks to obtain a firearm. Although the practice is a federal crime, most denied checks are never investigated. The committee is expected to release its report in November with recommendations for the upcoming legislative session. They have to make some reasonable recommendations. You can't be put in this position of terrible mass shootings and not do anything about it, Switzer said. Now, I say that when they could have done something about it in the 2019 session, they managed to do nothing after the Santa Fe shooting, that the Sutherland Springs shooting, but you just have to believe that there's a critical mass of death in the street that they have to make some reasonable recommendations. In the opinion article for the Reporter-Telegram, Representative Brooks Landgraf of Odessa said the committee is taking the threat of mass violence seriously. Though he did not say if he would be supporting any new gun laws, he said he would be advocating for an active shooter alert system similar to Amber Alerts. Bercy said that instead of staying optimistic that the House will propose new gun legislation, the Texas chapter of Moms Demand Action has pivoted toward voting out those who oppose such laws. She said that as the population of Texas grows younger and more diverse, gun safety has emerged as an increasingly important voter issue. Elected officials have kowtowed to the gun lobby and the money that they bring to their campaigns for far too long, and Texans are sick of it. As a mom, I'm sick of it. I've had it. And I think we'll see the results of that in November, that we're tired of their inaction and we will vote them out of office. Gun show loophole under scrutiny after Odessa shooting, by Caitlin Randall, CRANDLE at MRT.com. The gun show loophole, the private sale loophole, stranger to stranger sales. The term used to describe unlicensed dealers selling firearms changes year to year, and often from one political party to the next. A private sale is one not conducted by someone with a federal firearms license. Federal law mandates that buyers pass a background check when purchasing a gun from a federal licensed firearms dealer, but laws on private sales are left to the states. In most states, background checks are not required to purchase a firearm from an unlicensed seller. 17 states require background checks for all private sales, and 6 states require background checks only for purchasing handguns. The practice has come under scrutiny by gun reform advocates in Texas in the wake of the Odessa shooting on August 31, 2019. Seth Ator, a gunman who killed 7 people and injured 25, purchased his AR-style rifle in a private sale after failing a commercial background check because of mental health concerns. This is a pretty tragically clear-cut case where a background check may have made a lasting difference, said Ari Freilich, state policy director with Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, a California-based nonprofit organization. Private sale laws became known as the gun show loophole because sales by unlicensed dealers would often occur at gun shows. With the invention of the Internet, most of these sales have now moved online. There are websites similar to Craigslist where firearms can be posted just like any other product. And research has shown that they are understandably and predictably an attractive source of weapons for people who know they wouldn't be able to pass a background check if they went to a gun show. A recent poll from University of Texas and Texas Tribune found 79% of Texas voters support universal background checks, including 68% of Republicans. But some, like Mike Cox, legislative director for the Texas State Rifle Association, raise concerns about enforcing such laws, as well as a federal registry of all gun owners. If you go look at New Mexico, you'll find zero, zip. No prosecutions for violation of that law because it's impossible to enforce that law, he said. In July 2019, New Mexico made it a misdemeanor to sell a gun without getting a background check on the buyer, apart from immediate family members and law enforcement. A KRQE-TV report this month found that no one has been charged with violating the law since it took effect. Still, that report also found background checks on private sales have increased exponentially since the law was enacted, and Freelich said gun violence in New Mexico has dropped. The trend is pretty clear. States that have stronger gun safety laws have lower rates of gun violence. The man who allegedly sold a rifle to ATOR, Marcus Brazil, is under investigation by the FBI and U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms because of suspicion he was illegally manufacturing and selling firearms from his home in Lubbock. Brazil did not have a federal firearms license or manufacturing license. The ATF prohibits unlicensed dealers from repeatedly purchasing and selling firearms with the motive of turning a profit. Gun reform advocates have also called for red flag laws to be enacted in Texas, following reports that ATOR's neighbors had called the police after seeing him shooting animals with an AR-15 and being threatened by him. Cox said Texas has adequate red flag laws that are not being enforced, and further legislation would inhibit due process. Freelich, however, said in states that have passed red flag laws allowing law enforcement to temporarily remove guns from those believed to present a danger to themselves or others, due process is written into the law. Cases typically need substantial evidence and sworn testimony before a hearing would be scheduled, typically within a week, to determine if someone should temporarily lose their right to possess firearms. Laws usually have provisions for emergency orders if law enforcement believes a threat is imminent. The gun lobby, the NRA, warned that this is going to lead to mass gun confiscation from law-abiding persons, and clearly that was ridiculous hyperbole. Despite calls for an emergency session, Governor Greg Abbott did not call the Texas legislature to meet this year. They will meet next year and may consider recommendations by the House Select Committee on Mass Violence Prevention and Community Safety. The committee is expected to release its report with recommendations in November.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 30th, 2020. Section A. Lessons learned from tragedy in Odessa. OPD and ECSO take additional steps to stay ready for the unexpected, by Royal McGregor. Odessa Police Department Chief Michael Gerke said he believes that a year ago, law enforcement agencies around the country woke up to the fact that mobile mass shooting situations are a real possibility. On August 31st, 2019, Odessa's mass shooting lasted nearly an hour and spanned from Interstate 20 in Midland County throughout Odessa and ended near Odessa's Synergy Theater on Highway 191. Gerke said over the phone that since Odessa's mass shooting, there's limited training for a mobile active shooter, but he did say that training is in the works. This was a very unique situation that hadn't really happened before, Gerke said. We reinforced the training that every officer gets with the active shooter. At the command level, we've dealt with clarifying roles and clarifying the thought process that when things like this go mobile, that we have to do A, B, and C. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said over the phone that it's tough for any law enforcement agency to be prepared for a mobile mass shooter. However, Griffiths said he believes the sheriff's office took another step in preparing for another catastrophic event after the Ector County Commissioners approved Griffith's request for 27 new Chevrolet Tahoes during its annually scheduled budget meeting, August 11th. Griffith said the addition of those Tahoes would give every deputy the ability to take home their patrol unit. You can do all the training you want, but until that situation occurs and you have to address that exact situation, each and every situation is different, Griffiths said. Odessa Police Department spokesman Corporal Steve Lesser said law enforcement personnel have to expect the unexpected. Seth Ader, a 32-year-old man who lived in West Odessa, killed 7 people and injured 25 others during his nearly hour-long rampage that began after Texas Department of Public Safety trooper Chuck Pryor pulled him over for failure to signal. Gerke said OPD officers have been trained in active shooter situations, but he said Ader's case presented different challenges as he was mobile in a gold-colored Toyota Camry before killing a United States Postal Service employee for her mail van. Gerke said he was pleased with law enforcement agency's ability to track down Ader as a mobile mass shooter who operated multiple vehicles. When you look at the ability to track down and end the threat, we would have absolutely loved to end it sooner, Gerke said. But the first aid that the officers gave, the help they provided for the injured, and they were able to stop the threat, I thought they did an excellent job that day. I'm nothing but proud of the job they did that day. After Odessa's mass shooting, Lesser said the department received critical incident stress debriefing, which he explained isn't exactly counseling, but an opportunity for more training and to talk about everything that happened. ECSO spokesperson Charlie Veach said a number of deputies attended active shooter training prior to the mass shooting. He explained that more deputies are scheduled to receive additional training but haven't due to the coronavirus. After the shooting, we were going to get our guys into some training, but all of the training classes have been put on hold until after the coronavirus, Veach said. We don't have anything new to give our guys because we haven't been able to send them to any new training classes. Father missed by entire family. Garcia killed by Tony Venegas. Perla Garcia still remembers the conversation she had with her husband, Raul, back on August 3rd, 2019. Perla was back home in El Paso taking a certification class as an emergency medical technician while Raul was out of town with his long-distance truck driving job when the mass shooting in El Paso occurred at a Walmart that left 22 people dead. I told him to take care, and he told me to take care of yourself more because he thought that I was in more danger than he was, Perla said. Fast forward less than a month after that conversation, and Perla found herself in a situation that she couldn't even imagine. On August 31st, Perla was also in class while her 4 kids were staying at their grandmother's house in El Paso. She was waiting for Raul to come home and spend the weekend with the family before continuing to California as part of a work trip. She then got a call from her son asking if she was going to pick them up. I told him no, that Daddy was going to come home to spend the day with them, Perla said. She last saw her husband the week before he left on this latest trip, but Raul did not make it home that weekend. Garcia, 34, was shot on Interstate 20 by a gunman who went on a shooting rampage that stretched throughout Midland and Odessa and left 7 dead and 25 injured. Garcia died at Midland Memorial Hospital 12 hours after he was shot. At first, however, Perla didn't realize her husband had been shot after her conversation with her son. She was initially told that Raul had gotten sick on the road and believed that her husband's diabetes had caused an issue. It wasn't until she called Raul's mother, however, that the situation was completely different. I didn't think my husband was going to be involved in all that, she said. It was difficult to say goodbye to someone who she had built a life with over their 15 years of marriage. Both of them grew up in El Paso, but went to different high schools in the Sun City. She went to Jefferson, while he attended El Paso High. The couple met through mutual friends who were dating each other at the time. Perla sensed an early connection, but was hesitant to date him because she was older than he was by 3 years. There was one thing that stood out about Raoul, however, for Perla. He was always laughing and made me laugh too, she said. He was really friendly, and that's just the way he was. He was awesome, and we could spend hours talking. She added they balanced each other out well because he was more talkative while she was more quiet and reserved. As their relationship grew, Perla said that she saw the dream in her husband to be a truck driver, and the couple started a trucking business at one point. She said that when he was on the road, his favorite thing was to listen to music. As for what he listened to, it was a little bit of everything from corridos to hip-hop and everything in between. Even as he was on the road a lot, he would always make time for his family, she said. He was a good father, and he was hardworking. He loved his kids. They were everything to him, and he was always trying to give us everything. We just always wanted him to be with us. Everything that Perla had built was taken away after the shooting. After the phone call she had received that he had been shot, she was on her way to Midland to confront a new reality. The hardest part was telling my kids that he wasn't going to come home, she said. I don't want to see them sad. I didn't want to hurt them, and I had to tell them somehow. It wasn't like I could keep it a secret. Since Raoul's death, Perla said that everything has been about her kids and their well-being. She did say that the two older ones went to counseling for a bit, but responded to it well. She added that she had not gone to counseling herself, but was offered the opportunity to go. She also finds herself being extra cautious with her kids, especially now during the COVID-19 pandemic. When at work, she does find herself texting them more than usual to make sure they're okay. Even then, however, that leaves her in a difficult situation. I can't stop something like that from happening, she said. I can't keep them from having fun or going out or anything like that. It still worries me when they go with their friends or go to the park or anything like that. At the same time, I can't keep them from enjoying life. I try not to let it affect them too much. Returning to work has also provided another outlet for her to move forward, along with the support of her family. She said that she's always wanted to work as an EMT, but admitted that the process hasn't been easy for her. At first, it was hard because I would go to the hospital to get a patient, and I would think about how this person could make it, and my husband couldn't, she said. It affected me a little bit, but as time went on, I had accepted it, but it still hurts. I wish that patient who I'm taking back home and the patient who recovered, I wish it could have been my husband. Counselors advise, look for signs of distress. A year after the August 31st, 2019 mass shooting, school counselors offered advice on how to look for signs of distress in children and adults. Superintendent Scott Murray hosted an ECISD live event with Student Assistance Services Counselor Magali Navarrete Tesero from Odessa High School, Carrie Beyer, an SAS counselor at the Alternative Education Center, and Camille Garcia, counselor at Jordan Elementary School. Last year, Miri said, the community suffered a significant tragedy when Seth Ader gunned down 7 people and injured 25 across Midland and Odessa before being killed himself by law enforcement outside the Synergy movie theater. Murray noted that OHS student Layla Hernandez, 50, was one of the people killed. He added that trauma isn't something that goes away in a week or two. It continues to manifest itself in people's lives and can present in a variety of ways. There also has been the COVID-19 pandemic that has impacted the economy, sparking Ector County to have one of the highest unemployment rates in Texas. Murray said just the fear associated with COVID-19 is creating trauma in families. For that reason, and the mass shooting, Murray said he wants to raise awareness of trauma and signs of distress. Navarrete Tesoro said trauma is different for everybody. It can be something that's real or perceived. Everybody can experience the same event, but how they perceive it can be totally different, she said. It's not just feelings, but it's physical too, she said. If you were in a car accident, for example, anytime you go past that intersection, you're going to have that feeling. For young people, she said trauma mainly shows up physically. Bayer said some of the responses they look at are stomach aches or a headache that won't go away. Asked how grief and trauma fit together, Navarrete Tesoro used the example of September 11th, 2001, when two planes brought down the World Trade Center. One smashed into the Pentagon and another crashed in Pennsylvania. In Odessa, she said, people felt safe because incidents like that happened in large cities like Houston or Los Angeles. Navarrete Tesoro said people in Odessa had a sense that because this was a smaller town, people were safe. But after August 31st, we were shaken to our core. Parents had the same sense that if they kept their children at home and had everything organized, they could keep their children safe. But COVID made parents realize there are things they don't have control over. Plus, if a person was the main provider at home and they lose their job, that shakes up a lot of things. Grief can be all those things as to how we identify ourselves and what gives us security, Navarrete Tesoro said. Murray asked the counselors to talk about the connection of trauma, grief, and suicide. Garcia said it's like carrying a heavy rock in your backpack every day. She added that it's important to catch these things with young children and ask them what they meant when they say certain things. She said some young people, even in kindergarten and second grade, can start injuring themselves or having suicidal thoughts. Bayer said a lot of times you see ideations of suicide. Students may also scratch or burn themselves. It's not so much I have this imminent plan to commit suicide. It's this idea that I don't want to be here because life is really hard. I don't like the fact that my boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with me. Or they may not like their friend group because they're not supportive, Bayer said. Sometimes students say they're coming to see her for a friend, but it's really the student themselves, she said. She said, you see a lot more aggressive suicide attempts in high school, whereas it's more thoughts of suicide in elementary. Navarrete Tesoro said if a student expresses thoughts of suicide, she will bring the parents in and facilitate the conversation. She added that most parents are attuned to their children. For example, a parent may have a gut feeling that something is off, even if it's not readily apparent. Boys express themselves differently than girls. Girls may cry more, and men's moods may change. Youngsters may shun things they enjoy, sleep too much or too little, and eat too much or too little. They may have difficulty concentrating. I tell the families this is not a one-time conversation, Navarrete Tesoro said. Garcia said these signs of distress are not strictly for youngsters. Some numbers provided during the ECISD live event were National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. Trans Life Hotline, 1-877-565-8860. The Trevor Lifeline for LGBTQ+, 1-866-488-7386. Centers for Children and Families, 580-7006. UTPB Counseling Clinic, 552-3365. RISE, Family Resiliency Center, 848-6944, and Permia Care Odessa, 550-1100. Toddler thriving. The tiniest victim of the mass shooting is a precious toddler, and her family is giving back in big ways in Odessa. Meet the Davis family in Monday's OA. Odessa Rotary. The Odessa Rotary Club has an Odessa Strong commemoration free lunch planned at 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Monday at the Central Fire Station for uniformed first responders. The Bridge. The Bridge will live stream a special remembrance service and prayer vigil to honor victims, survivors, and first responders, 6 p.m. this Sunday. The in-person event will just be for the victims and their families, as well as a few invited first responders, but will live stream the event for the public. Visit thebridgeodessa.org. Memorial events. Share stories, photos, art with hashtag Odessa Strong and hashtag A Time to Remember. Place yellow ribbons on homes and businesses. On Monday, the design and artist for the August 31st art piece will be announced. 32 yellow flags will be displayed at Memorial Gardens and a hashtag Odessa Strong banner. Also, 1,000 smaller flags are available at the Family Resiliency Center, the Chamber, Odessa Arts, Connections Church, and area businesses. At 3 p.m., observe 32 minutes of silence. A drive-in prayer vigil at Connection Christian Church at 8 p.m. Monday. This will be a socially distant event with masks. Local news roundup. Volunteers needed. CASA of West Texas is in need of volunteers. For more information, call Hope Stalder at 432-683-1114, extension 16, or visit casawtx.org. Bustin' for Badges. Bustin' for Badges is scheduled for September 10th and 11th at Windwalker Farms in Stanton. This event benefits local law enforcement, OPD, MPD, ECSO, and MCSO, and helps pay for much-needed equipment and supplies. Raffle tickets are currently available for a Polaris Ranger 570, $10,500 value, a Springfield M1A rifle, $1,800 value, and a Diamond VIP package for a George Strait concert, $3,400 value, which has been postponed until further advised. Raffle tickets can be purchased by coming to the Odessa Police Department front desk during regular business hours or by calling 335-3322. Raffle tickets are $20 each or $6 for $100. To register for Bustin' for Badges or for more information, call 571-3462 or visit bustinforbadges.org. Call for Artists. Basin PBS is looking for an artist to paint a mural in the alley of the Ritz Theater, 207 North Main in Midland. The call is open to any artist in the Basin PBS viewing area: Andrews, Brewster, Crane, Ector, Glasscock, Jeff Davis, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Presidio, Reagan, Upton, Ward, and Winkler counties. Deadline is Monday. To apply or for more information, visit www.publicartist.org/call.cfm?id=2977. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Using vitamin A to recover smell. Dear Dr. Roach, My 90-year-old mother lost her sense of smell several years ago. We think it was related to a new medication. I read that vitamin A deficiency can be responsible for this, and I have reason to believe she has a real deficiency. She also has poor night vision, dry eyes, and skin problems. Her doctor nixed the idea of taking any quantity of vitamin A or beta carotene. I am perplexed. Can you think of any reason why she shouldn't try 5,000 to 10,000 IU daily for a month or two? Would moderate kidney damage preclude vitamin A in these doses? Is there a test for deficiency? MM. Answer. Vitamin A is important for eye, bone, and skin health, and it is also necessary for a properly running immune system. But vitamin A is a fat-soluble vitamin, which means it is possible to get vitamin A toxicity. It's also teratogenic at high doses, meaning it can cause birth defects if taken by pregnant women. Doses greater than 6,000 IU should not be taken by women who might be pregnant. I found an article from 1962 showing that healthy people who lose their sense of smell can improve the sense by treatment with vitamin A. More recently, there have been studies looking at using vitamin A preparations directly to the nose, so there is some reason to believe that it might help. There is a test for vitamin A deficiency. The blood level can be measured directly. Vitamin A deficiency is seen most frequently in people who have medical issues with absorption, such as celiac, but especially after gastric bypass surgery.
Dear Abby, family member is bored at gatherings. Dear Abby, something has been bothering me for a long time. When I attend family functions, I become extremely bored. Whether they are birthday parties or Christmas Eve celebrations, they bore me to tears. To be honest, I would prefer not to attend, but I don't want to offend anyone. Must I continue to be polite, or can I just stop attending? If I had more money, I would move farther away. Please offer an opinion. Bored in New York. Dear Bored, gladly. You don't have more money, and moving away is not an option. I'm sure this has been less of an issue recently because of the pandemic. Family celebrations are more about support and solidarity than scintillation. While it would be understandable that you might not be available for each and every event, if you skip more than you go to, there will be hurt feelings. So, in my opinion, once the pandemic is behind us, you should go. Rather than dwell on being entertained, concentrate on making the occasion enjoyable for others. You might also consider doing what I have observed politicians doing, which is making an appearance at these gatherings and leaving early. Dear Abby, I'm recently divorced. Because of my work schedule and moving to a smaller place, I no longer am able to properly care for our family cat. My kids, all under 10, barely acknowledge her, so I put an ad in the paper. A family called, came to see her one day, and took her home with them while the kids were at school. I told them that Frisky was going to go to a new home, but I didn't know when until the day it happened. Now I'm the bad guy since the kids never got to say goodbye. I contacted the new family and asked if we could come visit her to say goodbye. They reluctantly agreed, but won't be available for a few weeks. Their young daughter has bonded with Frisky. In your opinion, which is better for kids? To visit Frisky in her new home and say goodbye, or just let time heal this wound? Bad Mom in Minnesota. Dear Bad Mom, losing a pet is something children never forget. The pain of losing Frisky will heal more quickly if your children see for themselves that their pet has a home in which she's well taken care of and a family that loves her. Dear Abby, I'm a 63-year-old reader, widowed for 8 years. I'd like to date and marry again, but I have one concern. Many men lose sexual potency with age. I believe in waiting until after marriage. At what point is it appropriate to address this issue? I don't want it to seem as if I wish to remarry only for sex. I might consider marrying for companionship if everything else was good, but I think it's something I should know before marrying. Kay in West Virginia. Dear Kay, I agree with your last statement. It's important to know what you're buying into before taking on the challenge of marriage. That's why, in order to avoid any surprises, you should ask your question as soon as the relationship starts to appear serious. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars are the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Virgo and a moon in Aquarius. Happy birthday for Monday, August 31, 2020. Influential, dynamic, and fun, you're psychologically astute and know what makes others tick. The first half of the year is frazzled and challenging. The second half is an outright triumph. Your projects soar. If single, you're so attractive and charming that they're lining up. But you hate pretension so much you rarely go on a second date. If attached, your bond is powerful and deeply private. Taurus goes the extra mile for you. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 2 stars. Unexpected occurrences are coming your way. They will be positive, but they might rattle you. Unusual insights come up as a project reaches fruition. Be aware that people around you might be acting erratically. Tonight, it's going to be a nutty night. Hide out. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Professional concerns are the focus of the day. Business is highlighted. You make new advances in your career. You are more open and accessible, but take care to avoid emotional displays, especially in public. Tonight, gather a few friends together and make merry. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. You are a thinker and a dreamer. Your mind is active and you feel restless and yearn for new experiences. You feel a need to get away and break from the usual routine. You might create positive change through your ideas. Tonight, network online. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. Things could get emotionally intense before the day is over. This is particularly true if you are facing issues related to shared belongings. Use the day for expansion, reflection, and concluding projects. Tonight, catch up with old friends. Keep a light heart. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Romance is highlighted. This is a great day to schedule an adventurous encounter with that special person. Your friend is apt to be feeling as excited and enthusiastic about the day as you are. Feed your creative juices. Indulge in music and art. Tonight, relax. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. You seek perfection in all you do today, but this slows you down, and you might find colleagues speeding ahead while you are stuck checking details on your project. Cease the worrying and go at your own natural pace. Tonight, a quiet night at home. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. It is a great day for a creative project. You clearly have a romantic vision. You might be somewhat possessive of loved ones and children. Your communication skills are vital now. Talk over your feelings with someone you trust. Tonight, at home. Make it easy. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. Spend time with your family and other loved ones. Stick close to home and work there if possible. Attend to a home repair project in your spare time. You might be dealing with parents. You feel a tie to your roots. Tonight, let your imagination fly. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 3 stars. You are busy keeping your mind occupied with new information. Keep conscious control of your emotions when communicating. Your thinking is unduly influenced by the past. A short trip works to your benefit today. Tonight, make a meal for those you care about. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 2 stars. You studiously look for new ways of making money. Be aware that change will be stressful. Take time to plan your actions. Do not make mountains out of molehills. You experience a willingness to give up things you no longer need. Tonight, pamper yourself. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. It's all about your health and emotional self today. It's okay to be selfish now. Take care of yourself, especially any health issues. Your feelings and thoughts are aligned. Tonight, treat yourself and loved ones to an expensively made dinner. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 3 stars. It is a good day to work quietly behind the scenes. Hide your moodiness from others. Take time to reflect and meditate. Unconscious attitudes can be difficult. The past, even your childhood, affects you today. Tonight, as you like it. Born today, educator Maria Montessori, 1870, editor William Shawn, 1907, actor Richard Gere, 1949.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.